Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, here as always with the captain, who's just, he's just getting salty looking at online stuff, dude. You're out here getting salty. You're out here putting yourself in a bad mood, looking at all of the junk online.
I need to start muting Yahoos. I need to start muting people to a certain extent. Yeah.
It is helpful. It is helpful. Yeah. That is something that is kind of an ironic thing whenever I see folks like really like complain about, oh, my feed is so like, I just, it's always so discouraging. Like, I mean, I understand, but like you know, block is a thing. Like, you have the power, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're
He-Man.
You are He-Man when it comes to your own social media feed.
Oh,
just block
gosh.
People, right? You can curate that junk, right? And then it becomes nice. And then it's mostly like mine, where it's just golf and cigars and barbecue. Like, that's the vast majority of my
I want to be that naive to things, but I feel like there's a part of me inside that's inherently like wants to know what these Yahoos are thinking.
Yeah,
in order that nobody in the church,
you love the drama. You can't help it.
You know, there's some people that like have to like look at that stuff just to know what's going to happen in their church if somebody says that kind of stuff. And it's just like,
I hear you.
It's always a tightrope to walk on.
Because
in one sense, I'd love to get rid of this. But in another sense, I know a ton of people that would take to that kind of garbage. And now it's like, wait, who said this? Where is this coming from?
Hold up. Wait a minute. Yeah. Something ain't right.
It's kind of like the people in your church that read, that are really good theologically and doctrinally, that read terrible books just to just keep watch, so that anybody who brings up stuff is like, wait a minute, I heard somebody else say that. Why are you saying this? You
right. know? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Life's much more better. Wow. Did you hear that sentence?
Life's
Whoa. Tenasket came out of me there for a second. Life is better when you take the time to go touch grass. It's really nice. Dude, I got golfing last night.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. It was great. Jack, we got some awesome stuff to talk about. But before we do, as always, it's everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That is how it works these days, man. And, dude, I don't know what's going on. Oh, okay.
I saw a clip, and I'm like, Josh is either going to put this clip on the pod today or I'm going to have to send it to him. I'm just waiting to see if you put this on.
Dude, there are so many clips that are going around that we get sent. Like, I have a list. So hopefully eventually you'll have to send it to me. Like, when you come across those, send it to me so we can make it a part. But Jack, churches just be doing anything these days. They just be doing whatever they want. There's no rules anymore, especially when it comes to music, you know, their quote unquote worship time. And like, we're taking a step back. Like, here's the thing. This is a modern day. This is happening like modern day. But this was a trope back in the late 90s when we as Christians thought, hey, you know how we could reach the young people in our churches? We want more young people in our churches. Let's take secular songs and put Christian lyrics to them. And Jack, it usually turns out something like this.
Come on now, you know the song. I was born as a sinner misbehaving. I was lost and needed to be saved.
That one hurt.
I thought you were gonna do one that I saw the other day. It was in like a mega church, and they were like actually putting up clips of like movies of people dancing in this mega church, and this guy was singing, like the "Shut Up and Dance with Me" song or something like that. Yeah. Anyway,
the Lady Gaga one.
No, it was another poppy band or something like that. I'm like, why are you singing this? Like, why? What is going on here? Like, dude, we're taking crazy pills,
dude. Yeah, it's insanity. Insanity. What churches are willing to stoop to? And Jack, that is no more true than this next clip. And this next clip is actually going to serve to be a transition, a segue, if you will, into our topic.
Oh boy,
this morning. But if you thought the prosperity gospel couldn't get any lower than it already is. How about attaching the prosperity gospel to the Lord's Supper?
No.
And this is the last month that I'll be broke in my life. Won't you take and eat the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you, for your wholeness and for his promises.
And he pierced it in Jesus' side. The side. You know that same side where you carry your pocketbook. That same side where you carry your purse. That same side where your pocket is, where some of us hold our money. Your money may be wrapped in a rubber band. Your money may be in your phone. Your money may be just in your pocket. But in that side, that same side that Jesus was pierced in, he was pierced in that side, which means that I don't have to pinch pennies. That season is over. Stripes, we are not only healed, not only for our wealth, but our health, but for our wealth. So we take this moment and we drink together, remembering that he was pierced in the side, so I don't have to be pinched anymore. Let's drink together.
Holy heresy, Batman.
Oh my goodness.
Dude.
And you had to put put the church music behind it. That was like the insult to injury right there.
They got the Hammond going on in the background.
No.
Jesus, we take the Lord's Supper, Jack. I didn't know this. This is actually new to me.
So we don't get pinched.
So we don't get pinched. Like Christ got pierced. Christ got pierced, so I don't have to get pinched. That was the that's the takeaway. I didn't know, Jack, that when I take the Lord's Supper, what I'm actually declaring is not the death, resurrection, and future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not my spiritual nourishment that I receive through it. What I'm actually declaring is that I shouldn't be poor anymore, right? That's what I should be declaring.
Or sick.
Prosperity.
Which I
not just my health, but for my wealth.
Yeah. Which I thought it was kind of ironic when I always find it ironic when people are up there on a stage preaching prosperity and they have like glasses.
Yeah, they've got glasses on. They're overweight. Like, I mean, like, I would be a horrible, picture for the prosperity gospel. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you can just be like, look how prosperous he is. He has so much food.
I mean, if we're going back to the old school way of how people were declared prosper, is like, you'd have some weight on you if you were prosper.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
for
you were eating good.
Oh, absolutely. You had some weight on you. Yeah. I'm trying to be less prosperous right now is what I'm trying to do. I'm so prosperous, Jack. I'm trying to be less prosperous. But as cringeworthy, heretical, and I would say blasphemous as that is, what we are talking about today is, I think, the antithesis of what we just heard, and that is the real and true blessing that comes from the Lord's Supper, because there is, and it's not the blessings that video described, but there is real and true blessing and nourishment that comes from engaging in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. There's actual spiritual benefits that happen. There's a transaction that happens there, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today is how the Lord's Supper nourishes us spiritually as Christians. And, you know, this is, you know, one of the primary, it's not the only, but one of the primary reasons why Jack and I aren't memorialists, right? That we don't understand the Lord's Supper to simply be a mere memorial, something that only and exclusively remembers the death of Jesus Christ. Of course, it involves that, absolutely. Yeah. But we do not believe that the intention, the doctrine, or what we should be focusing on stops at the death of Jesus Christ. We believe it is much wider and grander truths that are preached through that supper. And because of those truths that are preached, we as Christians who engage in that receive blessing. And it's not the physical blessing as we just heard described. You're not going to take the Lord's Supper and be cured of your infirmities, or take the Lord's Supper because Christ was pierced. You don't have to be pinched, and the more you take the Lord's Supper, the richer you're going to become. That's obviously not true.
It's a wild take.
It is a wild take. Yeah. There's a reason I saved that one for this one. But there is true blessing that occurs in and through the Lord's Supper. And that's something that we want to talk about today. So I'm going to start us off by hitting us with the confession, chapter 30 of the 1689. If you guys haven't downloaded this app too, IRBS actually put out a 1689 app that's actually pretty sweet.
Nice.
So shout out to IRBS and their app. It's free on the App Store, and it's just the entire confession. And you can search in it, you can search the references, and the interface is actually pretty sweet. So anyway, side note, shout out to IRBS for their app on the confession. But the first paragraph of chapter 30 in the 1689, speaking of the Lord's Supper, says this. It says the Lord's sorry, my phone's going off. There. It says the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ was instituted by him the same night wherein he was betrayed, to be observed in his churches unto the end of the world for the perpetual remembrance, right? So there's the remembrance that we talk about, right? It does include remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, right? And showing forth the sacrifice of himself in his death, right? But then it goes on. It includes, it broadens, and it applies it more. It says also, the confirmation of the faith of believers in all the benefits thereof, their spiritual nourishment and growth in him, their further engagement in and to all duties which they owe unto him, and to be a bond and pledge of their communion with him and with each other. I love this paragraph of the 1689. It is one of, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful paragraphs and summations of of a doctrine in the entire confession is paragraph 1 of chapter 30. I love it, mm-hmm. right? Because in this, what this describes is the width and the breadth of the blessing that the Lord's Supper is to the believer in Jesus Christ. It is not merely a memorial remembering his death, but in the truths that the Lord's Supper preaches, our faith is confirmed. We are reminded of the benefits that we have in that faith. Our spiritual nourishment is obtained. We grow in Christ, and our engagement and our duties are motivated within the Lord's Supper. And then finally, the last sentence, it's a bond and pledge of our communion first with Christ, but also to one another. So I love this, Jack. I've got three specific ways, not the only ways, but three specific ways in which the Lord's Supper nourishes the Christian that I sent out to our church this morning, actually. But before we get into some of those, I wanted to throw it over to you. Have any thoughts before we hop in to how the Lord's Supper nourishes us?
Yeah, I would say that, the Lord's Supper does nourish us in both physically and spiritually. I would say, like, it's a supper for a reason, right?
Yeah.
As small as it may be, it's still there as a reminder of the promises of God and how he will provide for us physically. And so I mm-hmm. think that's important as we go to the Lord's Supper every, if you do it every Sunday, we do it every Sunday. I mm-hmm. hope that your church would do it every Sunday. It would definitely help out. so yeah, I feel like that is a compliment to also the spiritual nourishment that needs to happen as well too in the believer's life. Mm-hmm. So I think that our past episodes of why I was so frustrated with all of these Yahoos saying that, the Lord's Day is a man-made event and all this other stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's because on the Lord's Day, it is a special kind of grace given to us because Jesus is gathering with his people spiritually and giving them spiritual nourishment on the Lord's Day through his word and through his supper. And then mm-hmm. also through baptism, I would say as well too, depending upon if baptisms are happening. So it's a constant, if you think about it too, the Lord's Day is a constant, I don't know if I would say a reenactment, but it's basically a constant resurrection day. Like, it is the day in which Jesus rose from the dead. And so we're constantly mm-hmm. celebrating the fact that Jesus has rose from the grave and he is with us. And now he rules and reigns on high, and that he'll come again. So I think those are important elements when we go to yeah. the Lord's table. That is physical, yes, as small as it may be, it still gives you a physical promise of what the Lord is doing in provision for us. Mm-hmm. And then it also, I think, in the back end of it, is giving a more spiritual nourishment dynamic that I think every believer needs. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that. I love that example that you use, that the Lord's Supper preaches, like, yes, it is a remembrance of Christ's death, but it is also a message of life, right? Mm-hmm. Which is very juxtaposed to the Roman Catholic understanding of the Lord's Supper, which is transubstantiation, which is handled in paragraph 2 of chapter 30, which sacrifices Christ all over again, so that yeah. the propitiation of sins must be done every single time. It keeps Christ continually sacrificing.
Yeah.
But the biblical understanding of the Lord's Supper proclaims his victory over death, the once and for allness of the gospel, right? And that's what makes it so nourishing, is we're not coming to the Lord's table knowing, okay, I'm going to engage in this thing because of my sins. Christ is sacrificed all over again. Here is his literal blood and literal body, and it is going through the same sacrifice every time I take it. That's not our understanding. Mm-hmm. It is a celebration. It is a proclamation yeah. of Christ's death, his resurrection, and his future coming again, knowing that he will make all things right at the end of the age. So something that I sent out to our congregation this morning, which, you know, I was extremely encouraged just dwelling on these truths this week, is how does the Lord's table nourish us as Christians? If it's not just a mere memorial and there's actual nourishment that happens, spiritual nourishment, what does that look like? And how does that not get into the territory of weird mysticism, you know, we're feasting on the body of Christ and we're taking his essence right into it. You know, all of the weird ways that people, I think, will try to explain this. What does it mean when we say that the Lord's table nourishes us as Christians? Well, I think the first way that it does it is that it reminds us, the table proclaims that we have been made alive, right? We have been given life. In Christ's death, we have been given life. And that is one of the truths that the Lord's Supper proclaims, right? Ephesians chapter 2 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." So when you meet Christ at the table, you come through the doors of the local church, you're weary, you're ragged, you're worn from a week of dealing with your own sin, the sin of other people, you have nothing left. You bring that weakness to the table. Mm-hmm. And what you receive is not rebuke, not condemnation, not do better, not a Roman Catholic sacrament of confession where, okay, we will cleanse you again. And, but now, you know, it is, you know, the onus is on you. What we receive is a reminder and a proclamation that though you live in a world of death, you have been made alive in Christ. And that truth, when we leave the gathering of the Lord's Day and go into our week, right? Go back into the world. We have to remember as Christians the nourishing truth that we have been made alive, that we are no longer in the sin of our flesh, that we are no longer dead in our trespasses, but that Christ has made us alive through his broken body and his spilt blood, his death for our life. And that truth motivates. It really does. It gives us a motivation to be joyful. It gives us a motivation to, when we do sin, right? Remember your baptism. Remember what Christ has done for you, because he has made you alive. So that's the first thing that I have found the Lord's Supper to be nourishing in the life of a believer. Thoughts on that, Jack?
Yeah, I think it just reminds me, like, all these points that you're going to talk about are going to remind me of specifically of, like, John chapter 6. And so in that, Jesus is like, this is where I think Roman Catholics get it really wrong, where they will say, when Jesus says, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have no part of me. Jesus isn't like saying that literally, guys. Like, even though he's saying that, there's a meaning why he's saying that. And he's saying that to point the Jewish people back to the fact that he is God's son sent down from heaven. He, behind everything, there is a truth, there is an ideology, right? And so what he's basically saying is, like, you guys are doing certain things, but you're really not committing to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really not believing, right? So, like, behind us taking the Lord's Supper, it's not us, like, physically ingesting, like, the transfigurated, you know, body and blood of Christ. It is behind, what's behind that taking of it. Mm-hmm. It's faith, right? That's what the reformers constantly preached about. It's your faith in Christ, right? Yeah. Sola fide. So I think that's important when we talk about this, like, when we talk about taking the Lord's Supper, like, what's behind, like, the cracker and or the bread and the wine or the juice is the fact that, like, Jesus is there spiritually. Mm-hmm. He's there to do these certain things because you're putting your faith and trust and hope in him. And out of that, these reciprocal things happen as well too. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Jack, hit us with the second one.
The table says you have been given strength. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that we are alive, but we are also nourished because that reminder, what the Lord's table preaches, gives us strength, right? It bolsters and strengthens holy living. It bolsters and strengthens our faith in Jesus Christ. Because I don't know about you, but when I come into the church on the Lord's Day, really tired, frustrated from the week, I need reminding that my strength is not found in what I do or who I am, but my strength is found in the resurrected Christ. That's what I need.
Yeah.
I need to be reminded that I bring nothing to this table, right? When we come around and we take the Lord's, I'm bringing nothing to this table and I'm receiving everything from it. I'm strengthened yet again for another week because I have been reminded of who Jesus is and what he has done. That is nourishing to the Christian. That is something that brings such encouragement and such strength and something that I can recall back to throughout the week when I'm struggling, either with my own sin, frustrated with other people. I can remember I have been strengthened by Christ. He is mine and I am his. And I'm reminded of that in the Lord's table. So I leave that Lord's table nourished, knowing that I have been made alive and knowing that I have been strengthened by the power of Jesus Christ. And that, I mean, what else do you want, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Seriously.
But wait, there's more. It's like Billy Mays.
Yeah, but wait, there's more, right? Third and finally, we are nourished by the truths of the table, being reminded that we can now, as Christians, draw near to God, to our Father. Mm-hmm. Before Christ, we were alienated, separated from the holiness of God, unable to stand in his presence because of our sin. But now because of Christ, because of his perfect mediation on our behalf, because of his active obedience on our behalf, not only dying the death that we deserve, but living the life that was required for us to live, we have now been given not just entrance into the castle, but a seat at the table where the Father bids us eat, be filled, be nourished, be strengthened, be reminded, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us draw near then with confidence to the throne that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That is what the Lord's Supper does. That is what the table reminds us of. Is that this table that you are walking to, and this is, again, this is why we fence the table. This is why we are diligent in the way that we will rightly administer the Lord's Supper, because this is for individuals that have been bid, draw near to the throne of grace, draw near to the eyes of holiness without fear of condemnation. Unbelievers cannot have that confidence. They can't draw near with confidence because they do not have the mediator of Christ leading them into the throne room. So that is why we fence the table. It's not out of you know, wanting to be exclusive or wanting to be mean. This is for believers. This is for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, been baptized in obedience to that profession. You can come near and draw near and be reminded that this table is for you, that Christ's body was broken for you, that his blood was spilled for you. And again, let's put that into perspective. How do we nourish on that? How do we feast on that throughout the week? When you are frustrated, when you're suffering, when you're dealing with anxiety or depression or anger or sin, don't run from the table. Draw near to it. Be reminded that that table has a seat for you with your name on it, and that your Father bids you to sit and to be filled and to be reminded of who you are in his son. So, Jack, man, any thoughts on that, man? Just the blessing of being able to be reminded and nourished throughout the week of any of these things.
Yeah, that was a little compactum little moment there, Easter egg for you, because you were winking. I felt some people who are not watching this on YouTube, you didn't see Josh like kind of like purposely trying to sprinkle a little pactum.
Oh, anytime I talk about the act of obedience of Christ, we got to give our pactum boys a nod. True, man. True. You got to love them. Got to love them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's just it's kind of what one of my pastors preached on Psalm 33 just this last Lord's Day. So talking about like singing and worshiping and how we usually like worship with song and stuff like that and mm-hmm. all along those lines. And usually he was really trying to get to the point of like every Sunday is a jump to your week. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to fill that Lord's Day with?
Yeah.
Like, how are you starting your week off on the Lord's Day? How are you? Cause like we talked about, like going to one service on Sunday is not going to like radically change your mind, to be quite honest. It's the reps that you take, that you go over and over and over again, that builds your, you know, spiritual strength, so to say. And it's the same thing with the Lord's table. Every time you go to the Lord's table, it is, you know, one meal is not in and of itself going to nourish you throughout the week. But if you do that over and over and over again throughout your life as a believer, that is going to strengthen your faith and cause you to look up and fix your eyes more on Jesus more and more. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, you're going to have to, I mean, yeah, it's kind of, you know, what do you want to start your week with? How, and for like for us at my local church, like we start our week with that crescendo. The crescendo is the Lord's table. It is the response that we do after the sermon that points our hearts to Christ, and that we've been nourished with the word, and now we're going to be spiritually nourished with the supper, and so physically and spiritually. So, yeah, I think those are really important to the believer, because I feel like we lost a lot. I feel like Protestants lose a lot when they just distort the Lord's Supper to this really bad, blasphemous eisegesis that we witnessed on the Instagrams today.
Goodness, yeah. Sorry, I had already put that out of my mind. I had already blocked that out. I wasn't sure what you're talking about. Sorry, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're doing a disservice to what the Lord's Supper is there to do. And the Lord's Supper is there to confirm the promises of God,
yeah,
confirm our faith, strengthen us, guide us, direct us, fix our eyes on Jesus, send us out, help us throughout the week.
Yeah.
Not only help us, but it's going to spiritually help us as well too, not only physically, but spiritually as well. And so,
I
feel like I've become a very big proponent of churches should take the Lord's Supper every Sunday just because of its importance in the worship of the Lord and the service and helping you start your week out.
Yep.
Confirming those promises. So yeah, we would recommend if your church is not doing this, hopefully you can nudge your elders and your deacons of like, what do we need to do to make this happen?
Sure.
I think it's really important that you all do that. I can understand the whole once a month thing to a certain extent, but to be quite honest, I would rather have the means of grace that's seen in the Lord's Supper doled out every single Sunday along with the word than not. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what the Bible says to do. So, you know, there's that. last thing I'll say is a little PS, a little appendix. Look at the final words here, right? The Lord's Supper is a bond and pledge of their communion with him, meaning Christ, and with each other. Mm. That's something that I don't want to miss, right? One of the ways that we are nourished in the Lord's Supper is by looking around and seeing everyone else that is receiving the same grace and in need of the same grace as you.
Yeah.
We live in such an individualistic world. We've talked about this. And that creeps into the church. And one of the ways that manifests is you thinking that you're the only one that struggles with the thing that you're struggling with.
Yeah.
Or that you think you're the only one that is in need of grace that Sunday. This is why we take the Lord's Supper together. It's not an individual thing. It's a corporate thing done on the Lord's Day. We take the bread together. We take the wine together. Because in that, there is a communal confession, a congregational conviction. I'm spitting bars, Jack.
You are.
All right. That we are all in need of the same grace that comes from that same table. And that's the point. That's the point of being a redeemed people that have covenanted together. Is when you take the Lord's Supper together, you look around and you say, look at what Jesus has done. Look at what he's done. Look at what he's continuing to do. That the gates of hell itself cannot stand against the truths that this table preaches. Man, is that not encouraging? Does that not put some wind in your sails and some gasoline in your truck, man? Like that is, that's the whole point. So we do it together. We commit to it together and we're nourished throughout the week because we're reminded that it's not us, but it's all of Jesus. And that's what the Lord's table preaches. And that's how it nourishes us throughout the week. So if you're not convinced by now, I don't know what else I can do for you. I'm sorry. Jack, why don't you get us out of here, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's vitality and enthusiasm for the Lord's Supper to be taken every Sunday and how it will physically and spiritually bless you, and you want to listen to more content about why we make the local church central to the believer's life here on the Reformatory, you can follow us further on the sociables, if you will, the Meta, the Facebook, if you will. Yes, that place. The Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow. Sprinkle a little, you know, heresy on top of that as well, too. Or the sociable formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. Yes, I think I said that right. My brain is just fried.
Don't matter. Keep rolling.
Anyway, you can send us a direct message, episode ideas, questions, comments, concerns, gripes, whatever you want. Instagrams, videos of craziness happening. Plenty of that happening right now. All at the tag at Reformatory Pod on those sociable platforms. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors.
That's right. Well, as Jack said at the top of this episode, you need to get on YouTube because these Instagrams, if you think they're wild, that first one, that guy had a whole dance routine that you're audio only, you did not see. All right. And if you couldn't tell by the vocals that it was a white guy, wait till you watch the video. All right. It's like Mick Jagger up there. Anyway, head on over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We appreciate that. Rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. It does help it get out to more people so more people can be encouraged in their love of the local church. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. We call it the Pod Blog. A lot of exclusive stuff happening over there. It's pretty great. It's a lot of fun. Jack and I are going to record an episode, a bonus episode for them right after this. And it's $5 a month. That's all it is. I know the economy's tight. You know what? The hot dog at Costco hasn't gone up, and neither has the Reformatory Patreon at all. It's staying right where it's at, right? Come hell or high water or inflation or socialistic politics, whatever it is, we're staying at $5, baby, because we love you, our people. So if you choose to head on over there and become a Patreon supporter and get all of the rights that are that they're on to you, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of The Reformatory.